It's time for the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning program dedicated to all things Southern Miss athletics. If they're playing it, we're covering it.
Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. It's your host, Steven Mixon. The first part of this interview with Ostrander and Wilkes was cut off due to some technical difficulties. Only about 30 seconds of it was chopped off, just the beginning remarks by Slade and Ostrander. But tried to patch it through here on our backup. I had a backup recorder going just in case anything like this happened. It ended up happening, but we still can provide the interview to you and the rest of the show. So thanks for listening to 4th Street, and thanks always for working with us when we have those slight technical difficulties. We'll have it all back together by next week. But for now, enjoy this interview with Slade Wilkes and head baseball coach Christian Ostrander.
Yeah, coach, just talk about, I guess we can just start with Slade and the captains that you named. Why did you name them, and what about them gave them that position?
Sure. Yeah, well, they're named by their teammates. You know, that's purely a locker room thing that our players, they choose it and so forth. And I, you know, when it got presented to us, we do at the end of the fall, a rankings type deal that, you know, and all that is one is who's your team captains. And these are the guys that were, you know, unanimous, and I think they got it exactly right, and they usually do, you know. So because you want that leadership to be felt from the players, and not necessarily what the coaches think. And usually, it's going to coincide, you know, what we felt like, you know. And it, again, they hit the nail on the head. I mean, I thought it was great. So, and that's a good thing, you know, when what the coaches feel like they see, you know, lines up with what the players feel and see and stuff. It's just a no-brainer. Slade's deserving. You know, he's just not obviously a great player, you know, but just an outstanding person and leader and competitor and just all that stuff. And, you know, so does a great job. Carson Pato and Matt Adams, the other two, you know, equal kudos to them on who they are and what they are. And, you know, those guys have all been here a while, and so they know the way, and I think they're great leaders moving forward.
And Slade, I know we talked about it at Media Day a couple weeks ago, just what it meant to you to be a captain of the team. But you can just talk about the other two and just kind of how y'all gelled together as leaders of a prominent ball club.
Yeah, I mean, Matt and Pato, I mean, we've all been close for multiple years now. Like Coach Oz said, we've seen what that success looks like, and we plan on getting us right back to those same positions. And just, you know, them, just like myself, they're three guys that just bring it every day, lead by example, and they just show up, and they push me, and they're really awesome.
Coach, obviously you have to replace a lot of named talent, especially in the infield, and everybody knows that coming in to this season. How have you kind of seen that kind of fall into place over these last few weeks in the fall scrimmages?
I feel like things are solidifying, you know, kind of what we might have thought at the end of the fall, but there's a lot of time from, you know, that point where we end the fall to now, you know, a lot of things can happen, you know, good or bad. And so you want to get back and get going like we have been the last two weekends, and you know, you like what you're seeing. I think there's great competition going on. You know, I'd be lying if I told you right now that I know exactly what that lineup's going to look like. I think I'm real close. I think some guys are making it harder, more complicated right now with some of the things they're doing, you know, which is a great thing. You don't want to have just only nine options, you know, for a lineup. You want to have multiple because it's a long season. Anything can happen. And competition makes you better, and we talk about that all the time with these guys. That somebody's breathing down your neck, so make sure you know answering the bell and keeping the right attitude. So, but I do like what I've seen thus far in the infield and where some things are going. You know, we still got another weekend before I have to make that decision.
And you know, obviously, a lineup and a position battle is kind of two separate things. How do you kind of see the lineups setting up besides the position battles throughout the, does that play into your decision a little bit, or do you want more defense?
I mean, you know, I would love to have both. Sometimes it works out that way, sometimes it doesn't. I think it's very important to look at your offensive desire of what, who has to be in there, who or and where and how and what. And if you can have interchangeable parts and move some guys around, that's a luxury. I feel like right now, I mean, there's probably, I don't know, about 11 names, maybe 12, that are really making a case. And so some of them are, you know, it's a given, you mm-hmm. know. So there's competition still, and I want those guys to feel that all the time. I think that it does them well and stuff. And somebody's going to be in that first lineup, somebody's not, you know. But there's going to be a second lineup, then there's going to be a third, and so forth. So it's I think we got options, and I think that's a great thing. And you know, I look forward to, like I said, just kind of after one more weekend of the dress rehearsal, and then I got to really put some pen to paper, and myself and our coaches will discuss, you know, what we think gives us the best option out of the gate.
And you know, the transfer portal nowadays is just so blown up. I mean, even just the past couple of years. How do you view the transfer portal? Obviously, you pick some guys out of the transfer portal who are key names going forward in some of those position battles. How do you think it'll kind of help? And I guess Slade can kind of back end on that. How have they kind of gelled in the locker room?
Well, I think the three young men we added, I think we brought in the right people. I think, you know, I'm not going to speak for Slade, but I'll let him share his thoughts when I get done. But I feel like we brought in it's been a great fit. And that's so important. I think the portal can, if not done right, or if not really, I don't know, combed through and making sure you're adding the right type person to your program, that it can hurt you. It can hurt a culture. And if you're not bringing the right young men in there, and I think we hit the nail on the head. I think our coaches did a great job. We all did a good job this summer of trying to figure out what pieces. And I think the positional part, middle infield play, was important, and another power threat, you know, in Billy Butler. So those guys, they fit in here. So I think they're representing well. And we don't want to ever be a program that relies on the portal, and we won't. But I think there's times that you have to, you know, be a player in it, and we certainly will.
Yeah, I agree with definitely agree with Coach Oz on that. We brought in three guys between Nolan, Ozzie, and Billy that are they're all experienced guys, and they're all bought into, you know, what we do at Southern Miss and, you know, how we play. And man, they've been a joy to be around.
And how does, when you have some of those pieces coming in the locker room, Slade, is it easy to kind of get to know them? Is it easy to kind of get them to gel? Does it take some time? I mean, I know obviously now y'all are all very much intact with each other. Just curious on that.
Yeah, you know, baseball is a lot smaller world than you realize.
Mm-hmm.
Just due to the fact, like, everybody, like, all three of those guys, I had never played with any of them before, but there's mutual connections everywhere. And so you find somebody that you have in common, you talk about it, and then things you just start hitting it off.
That's great. Well, we're sitting here talking with Christian Ostrander and Slade Wilkes. We'll come back on the other end of this break, and we have some fan questions for y'all that they sent in to talk with y'all, and then we'll talk some more about with Coach Oz about some pitching. So we'll be back right on the other end of this break here on 4th Street on 88.5, brought to you by Southern Miss Radio. And back on 4th Street Sports Show, talking with Christian Ostrander and Slade Wilkes. We have some fan questions that was sent in via Twitter and Facebook. So first one's for Slade. From Buzzard Ball, from a hitter's perspective, which new pitchers that you have faced have impressed you the most during the fall and spring?
Ooh, there's a lot of them. I'd have to start off with Landon Payne. I think he's going to be a big piece for us out the bullpen. I think he's up to 95, maybe touched a 96 last weekend. He's got a good mix. Definitely expect him to do big things for us. Freshman, McCarty English. I think he's going to be a big-time player for the Golden Eagles over the years. He's got a really, really good fastball that plays really well. And there's a whole lot of them.
Okay. Coach, same guy, question for you. In your time at USM, have you ever had a freshman pitching class that had a higher ceiling than the current one? Has this class surprised you?
It's a good one. I mean, it's a good class, but, you know, our 21 freshman class, I guess that would have been your class, right? Is that when?
We were 20.
Our 20. You were 20. Yeah, 20 was Tanner Hall, and Justin Storm was in that, and somebody that, you know, didn't stick around long enough for us to say his name. And so that was a pretty good one in itself. But
wasn't
I think,
as deep.
Huh?
Wasn't as deep, but three good ones.
Wasn't as deep, but yeah, but very good. And I think this one will shape up to that as well. And most excited I am about the next one coming in next year. So I think we've done a good job of, you know, just keep bringing them in wave after wave. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, any freshman pitchers impressed you in the hitting, the scrimmages?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think McCarty definitely has looked apart, and you know, he's coming right at these guys and not cowering down at all. I mean, and they all are, but Josh Ock, he's got a different release height, a funkiness to him that you don't see, that's hard to teach. His stuff's not comfortable for right-handers, certainly, you know, to hit. And Peyton Lacy's has shown, come in there and done a great job of, you know, mixing in his slider with the fastball, you know, an 89 to 91 mile an hour fastball. And Drake Meeks, big stuff, man, big stuff. He's got electricity in there. He gets to throwing more and more strikes with it, then he could be a force to reckon with, for sure. So trying to think the others, how many other freshman arms are there, Slade?
That's a lot.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I'm sure I'm missing somebody, and I apologize for that. But it is, it's a good crew. You know, it's exciting to see, you know, where they'll go and continue to develop.
Certainly. Right field Roosk, not really sure the context of this, but it says 1v1, Slade Wilkes versus Christian Ostrander, one at bat. Who wins?
Oh, that'd be me. I mean, 100%.
I do it about 8 times a weekend.
If I was pitching against him, is that what they're asking?
I guess.
Are they talking about, I guess we don't know. If they're talking about me pitching against him back in my day.
Your heyday.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Well, let's say that.
Absolutely. No chance. I mean, no chance.
No Dude, chance.
No, I'd stick it up underneath his hands and then pull a change up. No,
no chance.
I wouldn't. I'm glad I wouldn't have to pitch a Slade. And I tell you what, I would do. I would throw it inside to him because I wouldn't want to hit it back up the middle and off of me. I'd rather him pull it, and because I didn't want to take one off the body. So,
are you taking Coach Ostrander deep, Slade?
100%.
Yeah. No chance for you.
I was a sinker slider guy. It would have been a good matchup for him.
Mm. I remember in the JMU series when you hit those, I think you hit 2 grand slams in that game. It was both of them were 3-0 counts. And I remember we were sitting in the press box and Jack Duggan said, they better not throw him a slider inside right here. And they did and just wrecked it.
I'm not going to give away the secrets on him. I know him too well. But, yeah, you find somebody doing a few things a certain way, I know it's not going to end well for their pitchers. So, very dangerous.
Yes, sir. Well, I guess we can answer this one. But Josh Snyder says, will Slade keep Hillbilly Deluxe as his walkout song? I guess Southern Miss Baseball just announced on Twitter that they're not – he will not be doing that. Can you defend yourself?
It was a good one, and it could make a return. But I think the fans will like the next one.
Okay.
Players always have the chance. They want to go back and change something, they can do it. You know, so we give them that option. I know that's been done in the past. So
definitely. Well, Coach, I wanted to ask you about the starting pitching rotation. I mean, I'm not asking you to name your starters. I guess you have two ones that are pretty much penciled in. But how do you kind of see that rotation building out between Mazza and Oldham? I mean, do you know who your Friday's guy is going to be outside of them two right now? Or you kind of just still trying to wait who that third guy is going to be?
I think I know, you know, what that looks like. And I think there's some really good competition going on. I think when you look at – I mean, we know Nico and Billy are going to be starting. And then you look at Sibley, Best, Armistead, Colby Allen, you know, all those – and there's others that could, but, you know, you don't need that many. You know, week one is unique. We play 8 games in 10 days. You know, got 4 in a row and then a day off and then on Wednesday. So there's going to be 5 different starters, you know, for that week. So that's kind of what I'm working towards right now. And then once you get to Missouri State that next weekend, it kind of lines back up. And then from then on out, the rest of the year, you have one midweek game, you know, per week. So you really get to attack it, you know, and I think there could be guys that four starter might be interchangeable at times. Mm-hmm. You look at the schedule, you look at your midweek opponents, just a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I'm very, very excited, you know, between those six guys I just, you know, mentioned, you know, with Nico, Billy, Will, Cross, Chandler, and Colby, they all could do it, you know, and so forth. But somebody's going to
step up.
Yeah, going to end up being the one that claims, hey, it's got to be me.
Yes, sir.
And those others just bolster up your bullpen.
And, I mean, in years past, sometimes that obvious starter hadn't come to fruition until the middle of the season. I mean, Billy Oldham last year wasn't a starter in the beginning of the year and then just started, you know, dial in people, and then it was an obvious person to start against Tennessee.
And Will Armistead.
And Will Armistead, that's right.
I mean, there was so much, and it takes time. And last year we were thinner as a staff, and it took longer to really figure out. We lost so much through the draft and whatever. But, you know, this year we got a lot of pieces, and I love having a lot of pieces because – there's a code, there's a puzzle to put together. You just got to put the pieces in the right place, and we'll figure that out. And it does take time sometimes, though.
Definitely. And Nick Monastir, I know he's probably not going to see much of the mound just because of the depth on that pitching staff. But what has he kind of given you in center field that maybe you lost in Edsel?
You know what? I think Nick is he's fearless out there. I think that's, you know, a good word to put it. He just attacks it, you know. He doesn't necessarily have to have the best speed or this and that, but I think we've seen him kind of looks like it fits. I mean, you know, he's done a good job with it, and you know, he's got plenty of arm, you know, to do it and so forth. So he's comfortable, and we're glad to see that, you know, and stuff. So it looks right, you know. So hopefully it'll continue to look right.
And Carson Peto over there in right, kind of struggled some throughout last season, kind of went on some of those, you know, hitting rows that I guess everybody goes through, but he had a little bit more of them. Has he kind of changed some stuff in his swing? Has he looked different to you?
I think he looks great, you know. I think, you know, just like all these guys, they look like lumberjacks, you know, Slade and him and stuff. Coach Mack, our strength coach, you know, best in the business, is, you know, he gets them strong and gets them, keeps them on the field, but Carson looks good, man. He's I have no reason to think he won't go out there and build a paw off of last year. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously in 22 he had a great, you know, redshirt freshman year, and you know, sometimes people think just automatically, well, it's going to be better than next and so forth. It's not always that case.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go earn everything you do, regardless of what happened the year before and vice versa. So, but we like where he's at, and there's nothing. Just like with Slade, they've been in it before, so there's no surprises. So just let them go out there and play.
How do you see the catcher position kind of shaping out over the next week and a half?
Good question. you know, we're still watching. Got some really good young talent back there. You know, that's fun to watch. You know, Graham Crawford's the elder statesman, I would say, with that. And he's had some really good moments. Gray Bain had some good moments. Good moment yesterday, leaving the yard off of Payne. And but Lawson Odom, man, he's really, really caught our eye. Looks really good. I like what I'm seeing there. Tucker Stockman, who was here with us last year, unbelievable kid, leader. You know, he does some things really well. And then Jacob Keys, good Lord, that kid's been hitting a little bit. And I don't think it's a fluke. And you know, and he's got a cannon behind the plate. So it's, you know, they all do certain things. Some of them do certain things better than others. If you could put them all into one, I'd be real excited. But that competition's still fluid, and, you know, we look forward to it. They get challenged a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They're hearing it from us, you know, and so forth. And we're trying to put their nose to the ground a little bit, say, somebody, you know, show me that you're the guy, you know, and so forth. And so that's good. That's healthy.
And I guess the same could be said for first base, too. Both that position's kind of up for grabs, I guess. Is there any chance Carson could come and play first at all throughout the season?
I mean, there is. You know, I don't know if that's, you know, I think there could be, you know, you'd never know what can come down the road. I mean, between Braden Luke and Matthew Russo, those guys are going to get the first crack,
yeah.
You know, for sure. And that's been some good competition there in itself. So, you know, it's been real easy the last few years. Just, you know,
Sarge,
you know, Sarge is going to be there. Yeah. Dickie's going to be there. Danny's going to be. I mean, you know, it's this one's a little different, and I don't mind it. Like I said, I think it's very healthy, and I think I see guys growing and players benefiting from the fact that, hey man, you know, that you better not relax. You know, you got to keep going. So I think it's been good.
It's awesome. Any of the shortstop, second base, you know, obviously that seems like it's kind of coming into fruition in Nolan Tucker and Ozzie Pratt.
I think that's a safe assessment. I think those guys have really done a good job. I think there's some good guys behind them, and you know, if that's how it goes with Eli Collins and Seth Smith, I think Seth Smith's going to be a phenomenal player.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of those, if they're not the first ones out there and they get a chance, they might not ever come out. You just don't ever know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, having the options and depth is so important.
And Slade, you like to play left field, don't you?
I do.
You like to kind of competing with Davis Gillespie out there?
Oh, yeah. Just like Coach Oz tells us every day, hey, competition's a good thing. And, you know, just me and Davis being out in left field together, I mean, we've gotten a lot closer as teammates and just a lot better friends. And, you know, I can just see it every day. It's bringing the best out of both of us. And just, I mean, it's just making our team better because we're competing every day at such a high level.
Definitely. And I would assume both of their bats have got to be in the lineup, it's, you know.
I would make that assumption, too. Yeah, it's, you know, those guys. And that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
This year, we have a lot of depth. That outfield depth is really, you know, there's an argument to be made that there's six bats that you'd like to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
That are all out there. Well, that's not reality.
Yes.
Unless you don't care about fielding the ground, you know, if you just want to put guys wherever and stuff. But four of them will be,
mm-hmm.
For sure, per every lineup. And, you know, and who knows if that changes something, you know, maybe one day five gets the opportunity mm-hmm. in there through something else. So, you know, we'll let it play out and, you know, and go from there. But again, it's been very, very pleasant for us as coaches to watch the competition going on. And I think I don't know if you've been out there for most mm-hmm. of the scrimmages. I think you would attest to it that they've been competitive scrimmages.
Definitely.
And so that's what you want.
Yes, sir. Any final remarks to tell the fans?
Just the fact that we're right at a week away, and we're mm-hmm. excited. We hope to see you all at the Peak coming soon, and we believe we got a good product to put on the field. And as Coach Barry always used to tell us, that we're supposed to entertain them, and that's our plan.
I echo that. It's only thing I'll say is this: come out and support these guys. I know you will, and I think you're going to really like what you see. I think these guys are going to put on a good show and play the game hard. They're not perfect. They're going to make mistakes, and but that's baseball. And but we're excited about it, and we appreciate so much the energy and the support that our fan base gives us.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for being on the show today. That was Christian Ostrander, Southern Miss Baseball head coach, and senior captain Slade Wilkes. Southern Miss Baseball opens the season next Friday, 4 p.m. first pitch against Marist. I really hope I'm pronouncing their college right. It's either Marist or Marist. Marist? Marist? Yeah. Marist? Okay, Marist. It'll be a lot of fun. Opening day is always the best day at the Pete. So we're going to get to the next break. We'll go through our flowers section. Thank you again, gentlemen, for joining the show, and we'll hope to get you back on throughout the season.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you all.
And back on 4th Street Sports Show, I want to thank Coach Christian Ostrander and Senior Captain Slade Wilkes for coming on the show. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed the talk and just a unique insight on the baseball team. Season starts against Marist next week on Friday night. Southern Miss looking to claim their ninth straight opening day victory. I think it's nine, right? It would be nine? I think it was eight last year, so nine this year. Their next Friday first pitch set at 4 p.m. It is our flower section, but since we weren't able to do Eagle Eye, we're going to do Eagle Eye really quickly and then introduce to you our 4th Street Player of the Week. So let's jump into Eagle Eye. We're going to go through this rather quickly because we don't have a lot of time because we spend so much time talking with our awesome guests. So let's jump into tennis. The Southern Miss women's tennis team is slated to play at Northwestern State on Sunday afternoon. The Golden Eagles are coming off a 5-1 win over Southeastern Louisiana last Sunday. Hannah Chambers picked up double win against the Lions. The Lady Demons have lost both of their matches this season against TCU and Tulane. They open their home slate with a 7-0 win over LSU Alexandria on Friday afternoon. Northwestern State knocked off Southern Miss last season. For men's basketball, last Wednesday, Southern Miss had a halftime lead against Arkansas State, but the Red Wolves came back and escaped with a 78-71 win in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Southern Miss limited itself to only 4 turnovers. That was only the second time ever under Jay Ladner that that was the case. Victor Iwako pulled down a career-high 12 rebounds, topping his previous best of 11 at UAB in early December, but the Golden Eagles shot just 35.6% from the floor and 35.7% from the three-point arc to the Red Wolves' 46.8% for the game and 50% in the second half. Last Saturday, Jordan Mason scored 10 of Texas State's last 12 points over the final 4-plus minutes to ruin a late Golden Eagle comeback in leading to Texas State's 60-55 Sun Belt victory over Southern Miss Saturday afternoon over there in San Marcos, Texas. The game concluded a 4-game road swing for the Golden Eagles. They lost 3 of those 4 road games, so not good as far as standings. Austin Crowley led the Golden Eagles in scoring against Texas State with 16. Arnold Iwako and Montgomery following at 14, 11, and 10, respectively. So the Miss was able to rally after being down at halftime, but they finished the game connecting on just 16 of 49 shots, which would be 32%, and they missed 10 consecutive shots in the first half at one point and converted 2 of its final 16 field goals over the first 20 minutes. That ineffectiveness allowed the home squad to come back into the game, and they scored the final 6 minutes over the last 2 minutes to take their point advantage to win the game. And the Golden Eagles return to action when they host Old Dominion on Wednesday night. The game time is set for 7 p.m. at the Reed Green Coliseum. Now on to women's basketball. On Thursday, Southern Miss head on to win a grit-filled defensive struggle against Louisiana Reed Green Coliseum. They escaped with a 55-48 win, in large part due to their 27 free throws made. They also out-rebounded the Cajuns by 18 boards, including 20 of those from the offensive glass. On Saturday, Southern Miss, the Lady Eagles, played Troy. Troy played a great basketball game for about 35 minutes, but Southern Miss played a better game the last 5 minutes of the 40 minutes. They erased a 14-point deficit in the second half and topped Troy 72-63 on Senior Day in Reed Green Coliseum. The comeback is the Southern Miss's largest comeback from being down 17 last year against Coastal Carolina. Dominique Davis led the team in scoring, and Southern Miss outscored Troy 24-9 in the last 10 minutes, holding the Trojans to 3 of 16, 18% performance from the floor in the second half. This is also the 550th career victory as a head coach for head coach Joy Lee McNeilis. She becomes just the 52nd head coach in NCAA history to win 550 games as a Division I basketball coach. So that's your Eagle Eye. Now let's jump into the 4th Street Player of the Week. We had 4 nominees for the 4th Street Player of the Week this week, as Donovan Ivory took home the honors last week. We have men's basketball Victor Iwako, Dominique Davis for women's basketball, Berkayla Gray for women's basketball, and Kobe Montgomery for men's basketball. And the winner of the 4th Street Player of the Week is, drumroll, Dominique Davis. So congratulations to Dom Davis as she takes home the second 4th Street Player of the Week this semester, and she goes home with the honor. So congratulations to her. Lot coming at you this week from the sports department of the Southern Miss Student Media. We have 2 basketball games, men's basketball games, that we'll be there covering, but also be looking for our baseball preview. Lots of stories coming through that, and they'll be dropping kind of sporadically throughout the week on our website, which you can find at sm2media.com/sports if you're that into it. But you can also just go onto the website at sm2media.com and navigate to the sports page, and you'll find all of our coverage there. Baseball preview stuff before the season opens next weekend, and obviously we'll be there the entire weekend. getting you highlights, getting you stats, getting you stories, getting you quotes, and we'll do probably a video on the field following the game. Sunday, we'll do kind of a series wrap-up down there on the field. And then February 19th, Southern Miss plays on a Monday night. I think it's their only Monday night game of the season. There will not be a 4th Street Sports Show that evening. And if there is, it'll be a pre-recorded show that will be programmed in accordingly. So just keep you noticed about that, and we'll remind you about that the next week as well. So, it's kind of weird, right? So, Southern Miss plays four straight games. It's a longer weekend. You got a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's kind of crazy with Air Force coming in. Then you got that Wednesday game down in New Orleans on the 21st of February before Missouri State that following weekend. So, lots coming at you through the sports department of SM2. As always, thanks for listening to 4th Street Sports Show. Like we said last week, we're still shuffling around some staff, so trying to get figuring out who's going to be on the show with me throughout the rest of the semester, but just hang tight with us. Really enjoyed our interview with Ostrander and Wilkes, so really enjoyed that. And lots of coverage coming your way throughout the next couple of weeks. So be looking all on our social media pages and all that good stuff. So for now, for me, I'm Diva Mixon. Thank you so much for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. We'll see you next week at 5 p.m. on Southern Miss Radio. For now, I'm Diva Mixon, signing off.
Thank you for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. We'll see you on the field or in your headphones real soon. And as always, Southern Miss to the top.